everyone has habits, and when you start something or do something particular, you often we have a habit for that thing, and I realize every time I get up here, I say, all right. I was in Georgia. We went to this church, and they were fun. We were all just young. We kind of horsed around a lot and just gave each other a hard time, and we were doing impressions of each other. And the one guy says, all right, who am I? And he stands up, takes out his chapstick, like really lays it on. And everybody's like, oh, you're the pastor. Because that guy always, he just covered that mouth before he preached. Just got it good and thick. That was his thing. But I just want to share one story from the January challenge. So I've been trying to ask people, like, so have you been praying about the money? Like, what are you doing? What's going on? And I asked permission from one of the couple if I could share, not the other, so I'll keep it anonymous. But one family, they had blessed another family already with some money for Christmas, and they were kind of short on cash, and then we had this Christmas challenge, and so they went home and they put it all their money together, the family got, and added it up, and then a friend called who needed cash, and usually they help this friend out, but they had no cash because they gave it all. They blessed someone else, and it just worked out that they just came home with the January challenge, and so they were able to help their friend. Like, it just worked out, and anyway, I just love to hear, like, it wouldn't have worked out, but God, like, made a way, and it's just cool. Anyway, so I hope just keep hearing those stories. Just keep sending them in and share them with each other and ask each other, like, did you pray about it? Like, what happened? Or did it work out great? Did not work out. So, well, I think we have a video. Did I step up here too quick? I'll get out of the way. So this January, we want to talk about the idea of I want to believe, but. And you probably have lots of friends who have different beliefs. And I try to talk to a lot of people as I can, as much as I can without being a creep. And I say, you know, hey, I'm at a church, and you know, what do you think? And usually the most common answer is, I believe in God, but I sort of do my own thing, or like, I want to believe. It's like, yeah, I'm almost there, you know, but I'm not comfortable jumping all the way in. There's something. There's a problem and something that's unanswered question, something that I'm uncomfortable with, and there's just this hindrance, you know? And Romans 1 and 2 says, God made it plain to everyone, the whole world, no one is without excuse, that he made it plain that there's a creator and there's a God, and we just inertly, we just sense that, and we just know it. So often people are like, yeah, you know, I wanna be with God. I wanna believe, but. And so we're just going to take 4 weeks and talk about that. And today we're going to talk about, I want to believe, but my prayer wasn't answered. And that's hard. That's hard if, you know, especially when you're like, when you haven't been a Christian for a long time, or if you're new, or if you're young, and maybe you haven't seen many prayers answered, you go to God with something important, and you know, you heard someone else talk about how God answered their prayer, and you just go into him with your whole heart, you're completely sincere, you know, you're putting your all into it, you're not faking it or nothing, like you are earnestly just coming to God, and he doesn't answer, or he doesn't answer like you think he should, and it's like, maybe it's not like that guy said, or not like she told me. Maybe Is there a God, or was that just superstition, or what's going on? You know? And somewhere there's probably a teenager that was just praying to God that their parents would not get a divorce. But regardless of their prayers, it still happened. Or, you know, someone's like, God, I've been giving. I've been faithful. I'm a tither. I'm generous to other people. I help my family. And I pray to you about this. And why are we still in the hole? Why do I feel like I'm still drowning financially? I pray to you about it all the time. I feel like I'm being faithful. Are you even hearing me? Or maybe you've prayed for someone who is just not doing well. And it's like, Lord, I know you heal people. I know you do. And I'm coming to you every day. And that person still, they're still suffering, or they passed on or something like that. You know, I have a friend who, him and his wife, they prayed for a baby for a long time. They wanted to have a natural family of their own. And it just, and they're so godly, and it's just not happening. And other people are like having babies and like trying to get rid of them. They're like, God, what? Why? What? Why? You know? And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard just because God has other reasons, but sometimes it's hard because we come to God with a different idea of who he is. And so these 4 weeks, it's I Want to Believe But, and we're going to address the idea of the false ideas of God. It's kind of like the opposite of what we did maybe 6 months ago where we talked about the attributes of God. Instead, we're going to start with the wrong idea of God, and we're going to work backwards. So today we're going to talk about the idea of we live in a society that we like to get things, right? I want to pray, I want an answer, right? I want to go on the internet, and I want to just see whatever movie I want to see. So for Christmas, we got the kids to bed early, right? Kids are all sleeping or faking it because they want Santa to come or whatever. So Lisa and I are like, oh, we have this evening, what are we going to do? So we just laid down on the couch, and I pulled up Amazon, and we rented National Lampoon's Christmas. Just like, we just decided, we didn't own it, but bam, we got it. We had it, right? Now, when we were kids, it didn't work like that. There's kids, it's like, you have to hear about when they're going to play it on the TV. You actually have to be in front of the TV when they're going to play the movie. And then if you miss it, it's gone forever. Like, TiVo or there's no Netflix back then. It's just like not on demand at all. It's like, you want it, you better reach in and grab it, right? And this church and my family, we have that Amazon Prime. So just to get real for a second, who has Amazon Prime? Wow. Because I just love that free 2-day shipping, man. I love 2 days. Like, the old days of waiting a week are over. And I am happy about that. And then when I get up in the morning, I'm not going to wait till I get to work and someone brings a paper. I'm just going to say, Siri, how did the Buckeyes do last night? And I want to know now. We get this idea of on demand, right? If I want to talk to someone, I don't wait till I see them next time. I just text them, and I expect an answer back. And the other day, I was in line at McDonald's, and they got the new drive-thrus now with, like, the two bangers. You know, you can go left or go right. But I was in a small town, and it's like, everyone eats at McDonald's, I guess. And the line was all the way back to the road. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm going to be here for half an hour. And so I'm just, like, complaining to myself, like, a ding-dong. And, we're booking through there. I finally get up to order. And between the time that I order and I get to the cash window, that girl that's, like, taking money and doing receipts, she is so fast, I couldn't even get the money fast enough. And I'm, like, complaining that it was taking too long. But we live in an on-demand world, and sometimes we have this idea of an on-demand God. I prayed, Lord. Why didn't you answer? I prayed, and I was earnest. I did the right thing. I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a pretty good lady. You know, I put the money in the cosmic vending machine, and I hit the button, and nothing came out. All right, what's going on, Lord? The idea of an on-demand God. Well, here are, instead of just trying to give all the reasons that God might not answer prayers, I thought instead we're going to think about who God is. That idea, is he an on-demand God, or is he something else? So here are just three truths about what God says about who he is, just to sort of give us to replace the false idea of God with the true idea of who he is. So first thing is we want to go to Romans. If you want to follow along, we're going to be in three books today. Romans 9. Romans 9, starting in verse 20. And first off, instead of being an on-demand God, God more describes himself like this. He says that he is the potter, we are the clay. It's not the other way around. He's the potter, and we're the clay. There's some clay that I made right there. Okay. So Romans 9 says this. Oops. I think I broke it. Romans 9, verse 20 says this. Who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Will what is molded say to its molder, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another vessel for dishonorable use? And so Paul was writing this magnificent letter explaining the big ideas of who Jesus was and the Christian ideas to believers that he hasn't even seen yet in Rome. And he gets to the idea of God is sovereign, and he has the sovereign choice. And he talks about Jacob and Esau. And he says, before the kids were even born, God just chose. He just chose that the oldest brother is going to serve the youngest brother. And that wasn't usually how it was back then. And God says, I'm just going to choose. They haven't done a single thing good or bad yet. I'm just sovereign. I'm the potter. They're the clay. And I'm going to choose that the older is going to have a different position than normal. And I'm going to make him serve the younger. So I have two boys. Okay, here's one. There's Judah. Okay, he's my oldest. And then here's my other. Here's Titus. Right there. As you can see, they're a little bit different. Okay? And I've been waiting for 5 months to use that picture. I'm so glad. So Titus loves his older brother. He absolutely just, he's the typical little brother. He follows him around, right? This morning he got in trouble because he pretty much wasted an entire bowl of soggy cereal because big brother and big sister finished their breakfast, they were off doing something fun, and so he just left it so he could just not miss out. He just wants to be like them and be with them. And so big brother comes home from school with all these great stories about school. And Titus is so excited to go to school. Okay, he's 4 years old now, but his birthday's in the fall. That means at the beginning of the school year, he was only three. Okay, so he's actually got a little ways to go still. And so he, being a four-year-old, has just grilled mom enough that he knows how it works now, and he has probably reminded her 10 times, Mom, have you called the preschool to sign me up? Mom, you got to call the preschool as soon as you can because I don't want to miss out on my spot. He's 4 years old, and he's bugging mom about this because he does not want to miss out on school. And the truth is, when Lisa and I got married, we could have done it however we wanted, but when we got married, we just decided, you know what? We got married because we love each other. We want to be with each other. And we're just not going to have kids right away. I mean, it's kind of planned it that way, as much as you can plan it. And so we just took a couple years just to be married. And, you know, we could have had kids earlier. And Titus, in a sense, would be in school already. And he has absolutely no control over that. But we just chose. We have a sovereign choice. We still love him to death. I would die 100 times for Titus. I love him so much. But in a sense, his mother and I are sovereign over him in a sense. And we made some choices. And he is the age that he is. You know? And in the same way, God is simply sovereign. You know? And we could have all these excuses. We could have all these complaints about God isn't answering my prayer for this or that. But the truth is, if you're in this building right now, or if you're listening to this on the internet or whatever, on a phone or a computer, you know, we are crazy, crazy blessed. God didn't have to give us any of this. You don't have to walk 5 miles for a bucket of water, of dirty water every day. I mean, we are just insane. It could have been anything else. He's sovereign. He could have chose that for me or for you. Could have chose to be born in a different time. You know, I don't know. It could have been completely different. But it's not like we complain, like we're the clay. It's like, whatever you gave me, Lord, I'm just going to serve you with what you gave me. And so there is the sense where he's still God, and we are still, we're still the created beings. He's the creator, we're the created, we're the creation. Next is God, so God is the potter and we're the clay. We shouldn't mix up the roles. And also this, sometimes it's like, God, you didn't answer my prayer. I want to believe, but you didn't answer my prayer. Well, sometimes it's because he's not an on-demand God. He's a God who has plans. Our God has plans. He didn't just make it and throw it all in a box and then go take a vacation. He is working all the time. And he has some very serious plans. And we have reaped the benefit of many of those plans, and he is still working today. He has never not done, he's never done working. Matthew 20 says this. Jesus was nearing the end of his ministry, and it's obvious he's awesome and God loves him, the Father loves him, and he is now greatly honored and greatly hated, and he's pretty much a famous person in his region where he was at. And so, especially among the disciples, like you got the 12 disciples, but then you have like all the people that are following him, like those disciples, right? And so, just like moms love their sons, right? The sons of Zebedee, their mom comes up with the boys, like, boys, I'm going to go talk to Jesus about that right now. No, mom, you're going to embarrass us. Nope, we're going to go talk, we're gonna talk to Jesus right now. So she comes up, the sons of Zebedee, who were his disciples, and she basically asks this. Jesus says, what do you want? And she says, I would love for you to say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right and one at your left in your kingdom. She's asking, would you give my sons these places of honor in this kingdom that you're going to build? She didn't even really understand the kingdom yet. She just knew, I'm going to ask for something awesome because I love my boys, right? And Jesus basically tells her no, okay? And here's what he says. He says, you do not know what you were asking. And it basically says, to sit at my right hand and at my left hand is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom has been prepared by my Father. Because God already is doing something, and he is sovereign, and he's got these plans, he's putting together a certain way, sometimes God's just going to say no. He's not going to answer that prayer. It's not that he doesn't love you or he doesn't care. It's just that when you're in charge, you got to have the plan. So if you're in charge of something at your work or in your family or with your friends, and the time comes where it's like, what do we do next? Everyone looks at you, right? Because whoever's in charge has to be the one with the plan, usually. Right? Or if you're always the one with the plan, generally you'll probably end up kind of being a leader, even if it's informal. That's what leaders do. And God has great plans. And a lot of times, like just last week we talked about, there's a lot of things we do not do here because we have a mission, and we're kind of refocusing this year, getting back on mission in a couple ways. And we talked about sort of lots of ways where people ask for stuff and we just kind of say no because we have something important going on. I love to read this little story that is almost 100 years old, and I just love it. I love it. It goes like this. I haven't verified that it's true, but I'm sure it's a story passed down through the churches over the years, and I'm sure it has nuggets of truth, at least, if it's not completely. A carpenter was building some crates. Here's why. Crates for clothes that his church was sending to an orphanage in China. Okay? So this guy is working on behalf of his church right now. He works for a while. Then on his way home, he reaches into his shirt pocket to find his glasses, and they're not there. His glasses are missing. He remembers that he put them in there this morning, so he drove back to the church looking for them, but no matter how much he searched, he couldn't find them. He sort of mentally went through his steps, what happened, and he was just exasperated. He has no idea. I made these crates, packed all these clothes. We're getting ready to send the stuff over to our missionaries in China who have an orphanage. And they're just straight up gone. Remember, this the story is almost 100 years old. So this was a while ago. So the only thing you can surmise was that perhaps the glasses might have slipped into one of those crates that he nailed shut and shipped off to another country. His brand new glasses. Now, at this time, the Great Depression was at its height. It was at its worst. The man had 6 children. He was a worker. He was responsible. Okay, but just times were tough. And he had just spent about $20 for those glasses that morning. They're brand new. Okay? So $20 back then, that's like whatever expensive glasses are today. I'm sure it's something similar. Okay? And he didn't just have the money just to go back out and get others. So this is his reaction. God, that is so not fair. I was working for you. I'm responsible. I saved money, right? I have a family to provide for. I'm a carpenter. I need to see stuff and measure things to provide for them. Can you just do something? Okay. Several months later, the director of the orphanage was on his trip back to the United States. This is what they would often do. They would serve another country, then they'd come back, and they'd go around to the people that supported them, and they would share the stories. So in other words, they would let the people that were helping them share in the fruit. Let me tell you about what all your hard work is doing over in my country. So he's sharing, and he finally comes to the Sunday where he gets to speak in front of this small church in Chicago. The carpenter and his family sat in their customary seats in the small congregation. You know, it's like, you don't sit in my pew, that's my pew, kind of a thing, right? And so the missionary began thanking all the people for all their efforts in the orphanage. But most of all, he said, I want to thank you for the pair of glasses that you sent last year. You see, the communists had just swept through our orphanages before all your supplies came. They destroyed everything, including my glasses, and I was desperate. Even if I had the money, he said, there simply was no way of replacing the glasses. Along with not being able to see well, I experienced headaches every day. So my coworkers and I were in very much prayer about this. Then your crates arrived, and my staff removed the covers, and they found a pair of glasses lying on top. The missionary paused for a second, let his words sink in. He wanted to say this. Then, still gripped with the wonder of it all, he continued, folks, when I tried on the glasses, it was as though they were custom made just for me. And I want to thank you for being a part of that. The other people listened, happy to hear a nice story, but the carpenter sat in the back of the church in tears. There were no glasses. No one else understood because the glasses weren't on the list, basically. But he's in the back, captivated by it, and he said, you know what? I'm a carpenter. I was trying to do my part, but the master carpenter, he had a plan the whole time. And he had to say no to me because he was saying yes to these guys. He was taking care of them. So sometimes God just has plans. And it would be kind of cool if God were a genie in the bottle and I could pray and my friend could just be healed. But sometimes it might be part of his plans, it might not be. I don't know. But if he does have plans, he's gonna go with the plans that are best for all of us. They're best for his people. Right now, Lisa and I have a friend that we just love. And he's a hearty Christian man, a man of worship. And he's just, maybe in his last days, I don't know, maybe it doesn't look good. But it's not like just that he's maybe passing away. It's that it's like a painful way to go, and there's nothing they can do about the pain. And it's like, why? And it's like, he's your man, Lord. And I don't know how it works out. I don't have all the answers. You know, I wish I did. I just have to trust that God has plans, and he is good. And because he's good, he's going to use it somehow if we let him. I do know that his family's come together, and all of us that have spread out that all know him are coming together and loving on his family and taking good care of him. I know that he is not distracted by any of the silly things in the world right now. That he just loves his family and he is slowly caring less and less about this world, and he's more and more ready to meet Jesus. Maybe God's preparing him. I don't know. Maybe it's part of the pain. I have no idea. I just know we've prayed a lot. But maybe this is just God's plan, and that's just okay. He's the potter. I'm the clay. If this is his plan, and if I truly love him, I'm okay with it. Sometimes it's hard, but I'm okay. And finally this. He's the potter, we're the clay. God has plans. And this. God wants you. He wants you. He wants every single one of you. He wants your kids. He wants your parents. He loves you. He's crazy about you. He's excited for you. The greatest commandment is this. It says, God says to us, I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. I want you to love me back. And as soon as we exit these doors, as soon as you flip on a television, or as soon as you go to school, or as soon as you go past a billboard anywhere, the whole rest of the world is after you and your heart. Okay? Every time you see an advertisement, every time you click on something, it's because the world is after you. They want your heart, you know? There's a famous marketing saying, if you're not paying for the product, then you are the product. It's like, oh, I just turn on the TV and the show's coming for free. No, the TV station is selling your eyes to the people who are putting the commercials on the screens, right? Over and over and over again, everywhere we go, right? It's like I buy an Ohio State hat and I love it, but Ohio State loves it a little bit more, right? Because it adds to their fame and adds to what they want. And like I sort of shared last week, people call us with their own agenda. A lot of times we say no, everyone is after us. And God knows that money and hobbies and pleasures and good things sometimes, greater achievements and aspirations, all these things that your heart longs for, God knows that there's a battle for your heart. And that whatever you did yesterday when you weren't spending time with the Lord is because your heart was after that. Maybe the pipes broke and you care about your house and your family and you said, well, I'm going to spend all day fixing the house. That's totally fine. That's a very good reason. But maybe something else happened and it's like, I'm just going to read the paper. Or I'm just going to, whatever it is, we do a lot of things, but how often do we just like try to squeeze in time with the Lord as much as we can, you know? And God knows that. And he gave us good things and good people to love, but he is so after us. And sometimes he's going to say no, or he's not going to answer a prayer because he doesn't want to give you that new car. He doesn't want to give you that. So here's a great little story. I think I've shared it before, but we started this church, and I'm like trying to talk to like every person I can. So I'm riding in the car with this guy who's kind of a friend of the church. He's not a believer. And I said, kind of like that opening video, I said, no, I'll pray for you. He's like, that's fine. He's like, I'm not going to pray. It just doesn't seem to work for me. I mean, it was just like that video. It was just like it. And so I said, can I share something with you before? It was something about money is what was going on. I said, we were starting this church, and I was kind of getting a little concerned about the budget. I was just praying, Lord, I'm like, Lord, would you just take care of it? I don't know. I guess I'm just asking for money or take away the expenses or something. And that same week, this has never happened in my life. That same week, someone calls me and says, hey, we just got some inheritance money, and I think we'd like to give some to the church. I'm like, so basically I prayed for money and got answered. So I shared that with him a little bit. And confession time. All right, I'm going to confess. Confession time. After that, I was like, I wonder if that'll work again. So I'm like, Lord, Lisa and I would really like to get this thing for this house, for our house. And I know you love my family, Lord. Could you provide this? But, you know, it never came. But see, I could spend all year working on my house and making it awesome. And we do things because we want a nice place for our family. But that shouldn't be where my heart is. That should just be like mission central for me living for the Lord and ministering to my family and to friends and being hospitable and stuff. You know, God wants our, here's one of my favorite cartoons about marketing. So there's two pigs, right? Isn't it great? We don't have to pay anything for the barn. Yeah, and even the food is free. And I grew up on a pig farm, so we bring in the pigs and we fatten them up and then we take them to market. So if you're not paying for the product, you might be the product. That's the saying. And the world is after you. Everyone wants you to join in their agenda or increase them in some way, but the Lord sometimes is going to say no. He's not an on-demand God. He'd rather have your heart. He'd rather you not get attached to so many other things. So I want to ask the worship team to come up, but while they do, I'd just like everyone to stay seated for a minute. And if you would, if you're willing, would you close your eyes? And if for no other reason, just out of respect for the person beside you, I guess. So just with eyes closed, just with as much as we can have privacy in a public place like this, we all have prayers. Would you think about some of your prayers? We all have an idea of God. We all have an idea of who's listening when we pray. And if you've been praying and you feel like you're getting nowhere, would you just slip your hand up right now and be like, you know, I'm waiting on an answered prayer. You put your hand up. Thank you, you're not alone. Thank you, you're not alone. Thank you, you're not alone. Lord God, thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, that you are not an on-demand God, that you have plans and you are good. And you are doing things that are for our good, Lord. Lord God, a lot of us do have very real prayers that our hearts are wrenching over. And where you are willing, and as you are patient, Lord God, I pray that you would answer every prayer where you're willing. Every answer prayer that goes with your plans. Answer every prayer, Father God, that brings you glory and grows our faith, Lord. Answer every prayer, Lord God, that also ties our heart to you. Also, Father, as we go out this week, back to our families and job and school and all those other things, Lord, would you just give us the strength to dig down in and say, I want to have a true view of you, Lord, and I'm not going to stop praying this because you want us to come to you, but Lord, if it's no, the answer is okay with me. Would you give us strength just to pray to you, Lord God, the real God who created the heaven and the earth and everything that we see here, Lord. Thank you so much, Father, for hearing our prayers. Whatever the answer may be, Lord God, I'm so glad that you are listening. We're very grateful. And Lord God, we worship you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.